This is an interview with Mr. Johnson Nkelia, the General Secretary of the National Democratic Congress in Accra, Ghana. It is August 19th, 2008. Thank you for agreeing to participate in this interview. I always like to begin these conversations by learning more about a person's personal background. Can you describe the position that you hold, explain your job and what your goals are in the position?
Thank you very much. The name is Nketia Johnson. Yeah, I'm the General Secretary of the National Democratic Congress. The General Secretary of NDC, according to our constitution, is supposed to be the chief executive of the party. You are the key spokesperson for the party and the administrator of the party and its structures throughout the country. Before becoming the General Secretary, I was a member of parliament for 12 years on the ticket of the National Democratic Congress, having won election 3 consecutive times, and a Minister of State, Deputy Minister in charge of agriculture for 4 years. And that's about it before I decided to retire from parliament and then take active interest in the running of the party.
And what has been your participation with the Inter-Party Advisory Committee?
I actually lead the NDC team on the Inter-Party Advisory Committee. And just a little background, the idea of Inter-Party Advisory Committee was mooted by the then Director of Elections, one Mr. Adenze Kanga, in 1994. Remember, the country went through some elections in 1992, and elections in 1992, which was disputed by the main opposition party, that is the New Patriotic Party at that time. We had gone through the presidential elections and the leader had been declared, and then we were preparing for the parliamentary elections, so they decided not to participate. So it nearly ran the country into some form of crisis. So the Electoral Commission sat down and thought of something that can bring the parties together to discuss and agree on how to move our electoral process forward in the coming years. So the idea of bringing representatives of all political parties around the table and to discuss and find consensus ways of establishing the electoral rules. And it has been a very successful experiment. It has served the country and the democracy in Ghana very well.
How would you describe the relationship of IPAC to the Election Commission?
Well, I think that the relationship differs from term to term. From the beginning of the establishment of the IPAC in 1994, there were very, very regular meetings. It was almost monthly meeting. So I can count about 11 or so IPAC meetings in that very year of its establishment. And in those days, the decisions of IPAC eventually found themselves incorporated in the electoral process. I remember we were in power at that time, and the opposition parties were sort of ganging against our delegation, because at IPAC, each party, irrespective of its strength, is represented by an equal number of delegates. So when you have the opposition parties ganging up against you, the ruling party was losing the debate in those meetings. And it was very, very useful, because it was another way of checking abuse of incumbency. So those days, up to 2000, IPAC decisions were virtually mandatory for the Electoral Commission. And during this period, between 1994 and 2000, through the mechanism of IPAC, we were able to introduce more than 40 changes into our electoral system. Some of them are that the introduction of transparent ballot boxes was a decision of IPAC first before it became adopted by the Electoral Commission. The introduction of voter ID cards was a decision of IPAC, and the original, the first ID cards were thumb-printed ID cards. Then subsequently, IPAC decided that we should move from there to photo-based ID cards. And then we also moved from photo-based ID cards to photo-based ID cards with photos also in the electoral register itself, so that you could compare the picture on the ID card with the picture in the electoral roll. All these were decisions of IPAC. And then the decision to hold both the presidential and parliamentary elections on the same day was also a decision of IPAC. And all these were adopted, and we think that they help in improving the transparency in our elections and the confidence the electorate also had in the electoral process. Things, however, have changed dramatically since 2000 to date. And I think that after the holding of the 2000 elections, where the opposition successfully captured power and the Electoral Commission had no fears or whatever in declaring the opposition party the winner, and then the sitting government also had no hesitation in handing over peacefully to the then opposition. I mean, we have suffered a lot of reverses in our electoral system, particularly the way IPAC has carried on its functions up to now. So we cannot say that IPAC, as we have it now, is as effective as it used to be under the previous administration.
And in what ways has it been less effective?
First, IPAC has been also been attended, apart from political party representatives, has also been attended and partially also funded by our development partners. And but the main funding is coming from government. So somehow the government has sort of denied the Electoral Commission the needed funds to undertake its activities. And so therefore the funding of IPAC meetings have been so severely affected. If you take the statistics of IPAC meetings since 1994 to this day, and I would be pleased to give you a copy, you realize that from 2000, whilst before 2000, meetings were very frequent annually, you see that maybe annually you can have about 10 meetings, 11 meetings, and when you are getting to election years, the meetings are more frequent. The story is totally different from 2000 to date. IPAC meetings have been very, very infrequent. And for the whole year, you can have about 3 meetings. In some years, you can have only 1 meeting and all that. In fact, since I became a general secretary of this party 2 years ago, I've attended only 5 IPAC meetings. And each time you talk about it, the Electoral Commission is now saying that they're fine.
Okay, sorry. Okay, we're continuing with Mr. Joseph and Johnson and Ketia at the NDC headquarters in Accra.
Yeah, I was saying that since 2001, the IPAC appears to have changed its color, changed its mode of operations, and so on. first, meetings are very rarely held. And even upon the prompting of our political party that there ought to be an IPAC meeting, we have been ignored. And then also, when IPAC decides on something, our decisions are not implemented as they have been agreed upon. For instance, during the last registration exercise, IPAC objected to the use of 2,500 workstations for the data capture and picture capture. And we insisted that we ought to have 5,000 workstations. That is the only way we can ensure that everybody gets the opportunity to register with minimum delay. The Electoral Commission accepted it. We got out of the place with the satisfaction that we were going to have 5,000 workstations. In the end, the workstations that were established were less than half the 5,000 that IPAC agreed upon. Then again, in the past, IPAC was given full disclosure of the financial position or resource position of the Electoral Commission. And so therefore, IPAC was able to put up pressure on the sitting government to release resources if they were coming from the government coffers, or find them if we had to contact our development partners. What we see this time is that IPAC will feel that the resources are not there because the things that ought to be done are not getting done. And then when you complain that resources are not there, so the Electoral Commission ought to be resourced, then the commission officials will go out there to contradict what you are saying in public, knowing very well that what they are saying is not the true state of affairs. And then the whole nation walks into the problem, like we did during the immediate past registration exercise, because we never made secret of our intention to ensure that the Electoral Commission at the voters register was compiled in a credible manner. So last year, 2007, even though the law requires voter registration to be undertaken, Electoral Commission did not call an IPAC meeting to discuss it at all. And then even when they called the meeting last minute, it was when everything had gone bad. They just called the meeting to inform us that they were not going to be in a position to open the voters register for 2007 because of lack of resources. Now, when we proceeded from there to make this position public, they then turned around to contradict us and said that no, they don't suffer any resource constraint at all. Then we all agreed that the next registration, because it will be using a new technology, the equipment for the registration would be procured before, in the last quarter of 2007, so that the training of staff and everything would be done, and so that when we enter 2008, we are not going to have any difficulties, and that the register can then be opened in the first quarter of 2008. We got to the last quarter of 2007, no procurement was being done. We issued a statement, came out publicly, to say that, look, Electoral Commission is compromising our electoral calendar because they have to be procuring the workstations now. And we are calling on government to release the necessary funding to enable them to procure those cameras. Quickly, Electoral Commission, we want to believe that they are always forced by government to come out to say something that will defend government. So quickly they came out and said that, oh, no, government has released all the resources we need. Meanwhile, the procurement was not being done. First quarter, the procurement was not being done. And even when Parliament, at the point of the 2008 budget preparation, realized that the Electoral Commission's allocation was not sufficient, and resolve, a whole parliamentary resolution was passed that the Minister of Finance will come back to Parliament at the end of February 2008 to submit a supplementary budget to cover the 30% deficit of the Electoral Commission's funding. February came, there was no supplementary budget. March came, there was no supplementary budget. And when we raised it, the president said that, oh, they've given Electoral Commission all the resources they needed. And we thought that Electoral Commission was going to say, no, we don't have the resources, because supplementary budgets are not presented in secret. They are debated in Parliament. And Parliament itself was on recess. So there was absolutely no way the government would have made the resources available. Then the Electoral Commission came out and said that they had all the resources they needed. So you see that, apart from the attitude of the Electoral Commission before 2000, where they were agreeing with IPAC to implement reforms, the Electoral Commission now is always on the defensive, trying to defend government positions. And when IPAC decisions are against government positions, then Electoral Commission comes out and say that IPAC is advisory, so they are not bound by their advice. So that's how we are proceeding now. And that's how come we are scared that the election ahead could be severely compromised, because the registration process has been badly compromised.
I'd like to transition to discussing the role of the Election Commission in regulating political parties.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes, you were asking.
Okay. What responsibilities does the Election Commission have for regulating the role of political parties?
Their role in the whole electoral process, or with respect to IPAC?
In the whole electoral process.
First, our constitution requires that political parties must be registered by the Electoral Commission. So it's actually the Electoral Commission that gives political parties authority to operate. Okay. And the requirements for the formation of a political party are also in our constitution. As the political party, before you can form a political party which will be registered by the Electoral Commission, the party, for instance, must be organized in all the regions, and it must be organized in 2/3 or so of all the districts within each region, and so on. A very stringent requirement. So Electoral Commission has the power to withdraw a party's license if it is not operating according to the rules. Secondly, there is the requirement of disclosure of financial dealings of each party. So we are under law to report to the Electoral Commission about our annual financial statements, and they must receive them within the first 6 months or so of the succeeding year. And then also there is a requirement that the internal organization of the party must be done according to democratic principles. So therefore we interpret that one to mean that elections within the party at every stage must be supervised and conducted by the Electoral Commission. So this is what they do. And when we come to the conduct of elections and conduct of registration and so on, there are rules allow parties to observe the election. So parties are allowed to place party representatives at the various registration centers or polling centers, as the case may be, and then they require the signature of the parties or the endorsement of the various parties of the results of the election at whatever stage, up from branch to national level.
Does the Election Commission play a role in vetting candidates?
No, in the vetting they don't play any role, but in the election, after the vetting, they will go for primaries, okay, but the primaries must be supervised by the Electoral Commission, so the Commission makes sure that the conduct of the elections is done according to democratic principles.
Are there any rules in place that require political parties to register the dates, the times, the places of campaign rallies?
No, not with the Electoral Commission, but with the police and security agencies. You need to inform the police 5 days before the any major outdoor activity, so that the police will then prepare to give you the necessary security cover.
Contacting voters is expensive and often difficult if infrastructure is limited, if fuel costs are high. What are the main methods that political party leaders use to try to reach potential voters? And do you think that these methods have any particular advantages or disadvantages for the quality of the election?
Thank you very much. At this stage, at some point, I may have to limit my submission to what happens with my party, because there are other things that happen in other political parties that are not approved by us. We, in fact, have cause to complain about some of them. We are a mass party, so we organize our party. The basics of our party are the branches, and the branches are organized around polling. They are coterminous with Electoral Commission's polling stations. So we have about 24,000 branches of our party countrywide. So at every local level, where you have about 500 eligible voters, of course, the criteria may change depending upon geographical and other features. 500 eligible voters, you have a branch of NDC there. So the executives that with a 9-member executives, and these 9-member executives are put in charge of contacting the 500 also eligible voters there and discuss the party's program, discuss, and try to market our candidates and so on at the branch level. So that is the major means of contacting the voters and then selling our products, which are candidates and programs. Then, apart from that, we do organize rallies. We organize public events. And this public event can take the form of mini rallies at the various branches, or and then bigger ones at ward levels, and then yet bigger ones at constituency levels, and then regional rallies and national rallies. So we have that set of activities, public activities also. So these are the major means of selling people, selling our products, and then we use the mass media, advertisement in the mass media, press conferences here, which are then blown in the news and other things.
It seems that one of the ways that the Election Commission maintains transparency of the election process is by having party representatives or party agents be observers to the entire process at every level, from counting to the transport of ballots to the printing of ballots to the reporting of results. It seems also that that requires a lot, that would require each of those party agents to be trained enough to know what the procedure should be. Can you describe how the party goes about the recruitment and the training of these people that play such a vital role in the transparency of the process?
Thank you very much. Since our branches are co-terminals with Letra, the various polling stations, so it works out that the branch executive there will be responsible for whatever activity that takes place there that involves the party. So the recruitment of the agents are handled by the branch executive. So the branch executive would select the two agents that are required there. And then so that is how the recruitment takes place throughout the country. And then we also undertake the training from national here. And what we do is we train trainers. So at the moment, we have completed the training of our trainers, about 300 or so throughout the country. So that since we have 10 regions, we have about 30 trainers in each region. And these 30 trainers, you will find them responsible for the various constituencies in those regions. And then, so these trainers are the people who will then organize further training of the agents that are selected in the various constituencies.
And how do you evaluate the performance of these agents?
Well, unfortunately, if you want to evaluate their performance, it is always after the battle, after the election. That is how you can actually evaluate their performance on the field. But we have simulation exercises, and then for instance, the current registration exercise, because it is a limited exercise, we just train some people a little more than the trainers, and then we put the trainers and the people they have trained to man the registration centers. So always the registration that takes place before the major election is serves as a ground for testing our agents. Apart from that, unfortunately, before you know somebody is not performing, he has compromised your vote in that place. So you will then be planning for the future elections and how to replace them and so on.
Great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.